The good thing is that oftentimes, I work with business owners, and oftentimes what they do is they'll use this time as a time of reflection. You know, time of, you know, they go off to the batch, or kind of, you take the time off, and you look at the year past, and you look at the year ahead. And what we do that quite often, and did anybody else do that, kind of when you're, kind of use this time of reflection? Excellent. Apologies. The thing is that oftentimes, I think what we do is, it's good to do that, but what I find is that that I think by human nature, we want to look ahead. We want to say, what do you want to do? And we use this time as a reflection. And what I want to do today is encourage you, if you're kind of looking at the past and kind of looking ahead, I really want to share a word of encouragement with you, that God will finish the job. God will finish the job. So we'll look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through to 11. Because I want to encourage you, because oftentimes, I think human nature works against us. This is just the natural way we do things, is we go from crisis to crisis, don't we? We have a situation that, God, I need your help. God, I need you to touch my family. Or God, I need you to work in my marriage. Or God, I need finances. And we pray. And it's okay. And God, this is a good thing. We pray and we ask God, God, I need this. God, I need this. God, can you touch me? God, can you touch me? And we pray that because it's on our mind. It's so much in front of us. And we pray, and then day after day, after week, maybe year, and God finally answers that prayer, right? God comes through, sometimes miraculously, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, but God comes through. And we say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you for answering the prayer. God, thank you for working in the situation. But then the next thing comes over the horizon. And so we very easily forget the good that just happened, and we kind of go to the next crisis. Is that just me, or can you know what I'm saying, right? And so it's very easy for us to be so focused on the problem that we need God to do, God to fix, that we forget and we kind of lose track of what he's already done. And I think in being charismatics, we love a good miracle, right? You know, we believe that God is real. He works today. He loves us enough to intervene in our lives today. We believe in the signs and the wonders, and we love those testimonies of how God instantly healed somebody's back, or how God instantly broke the addiction when they came to Christ, and how God instantly moved. And we have testimonies about that, right? We don't really have testimonies about over the past 15 years. God did this. Because it's a natural thing. We like the instant. We like the miraculous. We like the big transformations. And we oftentimes forget or just kind of goes out of focus the good stuff that God has done. But God does both. He does both the miraculous. And if you need healing, if you need something to break in your life, come up after the service. We will pray for you because we believe that God does miracles today. But God also does the gradual growth, right? You know, the parables of the seeds and the sowers and fruit takes time, doesn't it? So just as valid, God is doing the work. And as we reflect on maybe 2023, we say, what we want God to do, God, what we need you to do in 2024 and beyond, I want to encourage you that God will finish the job. God will finish the job. The redemptive, sanctifying, purifying work is his. And what we'll look at today is that it is his plan, it is by his power, and it is for his praise. His plan, his power, his praise. All right? So let's read together here. Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians, and actually Philippi was a bunch of retired Roman soldiers. That's kind of where they went to retire, which is pretty cool. I just found that out when I was researching this. So, I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. being confident of this, this is the main verse, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So we see, and well, these are the focus verses, 6, 9, 10, 11, that it is his plan, it is by his power, and it's for his glory and praise. So let's unpack that a bit. Let's dig deeper into that and be encouraged that God will finish the job in your life. He will complete the work he started in you. So first of all, his plan. Being confident. Now, Paul, there was no doubt in Paul's mind that God would do this, was there? He says, being confident. You can take that to the banks. He's confident that it will, that he will finish the job. So my question is, who began the work in you? Who? Come on, say it loud and proud. He did. He started the work. It's his work. It's not us. It's not my righteousness. It's not my goodness. It's his work, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Train. Woohoo! Even they're rejoicing. The rocks will cry out, and so will the railway. Yes. But God always finish what he starts. Think of the miracle of creating the universe. There is no half-done part of the universe, is there? God finishes what he starts. Now, if you go to my garage, you'll find a lot of round to its. I'll get around to it one of these days. You'll find these half-started projects. Anybody else? Anybody? Any wives nudging their husbands? Any husbands nudging their wives on the little craft thing that they were going to, you know? I'm looking at nobody in this room. No, but God will finish the job. However, we, you know, if you go to my garage, you will see half-started projects because I had a great idea of how to fix the plumbing on this or what the water trough or something. I had a great idea, but when I got working on it, the idea didn't work out. You know, it just kind of was, you know, not really there. Or I started the project, but I didn't have the right part. So to the side it goes. I have to run to Mitre 10. So, you know, so the thing is, God doesn't have that problem, does he? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. The psalmist says, God will finish the job. God doesn't run out of parts. God has the whole master blueprint of the work that needs to be done in your life. And we can be confident that God will finish the job. It is his plan, right? It is his work, not ours. The work of righteousness is his, not ours, right? So we can be confident, and you can be confident in Christ that God will do it. And another thing, so it's his plan. He's got the master plan. He's got the blueprints, right? It's also his timing, right? Like the scripture just said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Who knows better than the one who created you what you need? I say, Chris, this is so basic, but don't we forget it, right? Don't we? He sees every issue. He knows every weakness. He knows our thoughts. Get this. He knows the thoughts behind the thoughts. He knows the motivation behind the motivation, that we think we're doing it for altruistically, but really we're kind of doing it for this reason. God knows the thoughts behind the thoughts. God knows the need. God knows what needs to be fixed. He knows everything that we need, and he has a complete blueprint, and he knows how to orchestrate the work in your heart and the work in my heart to get the most benefit for us and the glory for Him. He knows everything that we need, the complete work needs to be done. He knows when you need encouragement. He knows when you need correction. Scoot back on track there. He knows what strength will only come through going through trials. He knows, you know, He knows that some things only happen, some growth. You know, I can talk about building muscles, but until I start, working out, anything could happen. But until I work with that resistance, and I have to deal with these challenges, the muscles don't grow. The spiritual muscles grow through trials, through challenges. And He knows which things will strengthen you, which is too much for you, and what will strengthen you this far, and then you kind of go away, and, God does some stuff, and then after a while, maybe He kind of strengthens that same muscle again. God knows the timing. God knows, how to get things done. And you might have heard me tell you this before. I plagiarized with pride. This has got from Dr. Mark Rutland. Write this down. If you're looking for somebody to listen to on YouTube, Dr. Mark Rutland. Great man of God. But he uses this fence analogy, and so I'll tell you from him, that generally, we have a fence to paint, right? And being in the West, we read from top, left to right, top to bottom. And we'll probably, if we go start painting a fence, we'll probably do it that way. Correct? But God, He's not limited to that. God knows exactly when we need to work on what section, or what He needs to work on when, right? So God, rather than starting left to right, top to bottom, He might start over on this plank here. Then, that's good. So that's kind of going along. We've strengthened that a bit. Now let's go over to this one here. We'll do that. The whole fence will be painted and it'll look beautiful, but He may not do it in the order that we think He should do it, right? He may not work on your spouse in the order that you think He should work on your spouse. And that's okay, because He can do it. And so He'll say, okay, let's look at it. You come to Christ and, He'll deal with this instantly. But Well, let's go over here and let's work on patience. We need a little bit more patience. If it's my fence, we need a lot more patience. And He goes over here. Okay, well, let's get this fear. Oh, listen, what about this doubt? What about this evil speaking about people we know? Oh, what about gossip? God will do the work in the order in which He deems the most effective for us. It is His plan. The work is His. The timing is His. And He will do it in the order that is for our best benefit, because He knows how to build us and strengthen us, and for His glory. His power. Look at this, verse 9, 10, 11. And how many of you want this? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. God, help me to know You more. Help me to see what You want me to see, so that you may be able to discern what is best. So many people don't know how to discern what is best. They listen to this voice, listen to that voice, listen to this little thing over here. We need discernment about what is best. And may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I mean, is this anything we can do in our own power? I tell you, if I was trying to pull myself up on my bootstraps and and develop my own insight, find the truth within. No, the truth is in Christ. We need Him to change us. So it's only that we need God's power to do that, don't we? And isn't it a relief to know that it doesn't rely on your sheer willpower to become the person God wants you to be? That the fact is that our best efforts can't achieve this goodness. And, in our to become righteous, what He wants us to be, our righteousness, my goodness, my abilities, God describes it as filthy, smelly, nasty rags. That's in comparison to His standards, to his righteousness. We can't do it on our own. If maybe you're frustrated because you're trying in your own power, your own strength to become the person that God wants you to be, or trying to overcome an addiction, or trying to overcome some character flaw. Good news is, you don't have to do it in your own power, in your own strength. God is big enough. God is big enough to handle whatever baggage you bring. God is big enough to handle whatever challenges you face. And glory to God, we don't have to do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. But we have a Savior who has paid the price, who has made the way, and who transforms us by his power, by his work, by his grace in our life. You guys catching a theme here? Good. So the good news is we can throw ourselves on his mercy and his grace and say, God, please change me. God, I can't do it on my own. God, please transform me. God, please help me to become the person that you want me to be. And he will. He'll work in our life. And by his power, he'll fill your heart that your love may abound. God, renew my mind with your word. God, give me the discernment and insight. Illuminate your word as I read it. By your blood, cleanse me, make me whole. And through who? Where's the righteousness, the fruit of righteousness come through? Jesus. God, do this powerful work. By your blood, cleanse me. By your power, strengthen me, so that I will be pure and blameless in your sight. We can pray, God, change my thoughts, my actions. He'll replace the fear with trust. Replace the selfishness with kindness. Bitterness with joy. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5 talks about the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Envy, lust, greed, wickedness, terrible stuff that will ruin relationships, ruin our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Why do you throw self-control in there? Self-control, he has that too, isn't that good? But God will do the work. It is by his power that he makes this happen. And lastly, his praise. We read that in verse 11, to the glory and praise of God. He gets the glory, right? Because if it's his plan, it's his power, it's his grace, it's his shed blood on the cross, what credit can we take? None. So he gets the glory. You say, well, that's okay. Well, how does that work? Well, quite simply, I think. We glorify God when God is developing this fruit of righteousness in us. And when, and we actually take the peace of God to those around us. We take the forgiveness of God. We take the truth and the discernment that God gives us to the world around us. That glorifies God. Because it enables us to do his work and to take his wisdom and his fruit to those around us. That's one way God gets glorified. And also, when people recognize the change in our life, give glory to God. Wow, Chris, you're not half the obnoxious jerk you used to be 5 years ago when I knew you. Thank you for noticing. Glory to God. Isn't God good? What used to rattle me 10 years ago, I can sail through today because God has built up the faith, because God has built up the strength, because God has built up the trust. Oh, not this again. Okay, I'll take this again because I know that God has got me through it before and he will get me through it again. God has changed my heart where I used to be bitter and angry, but God has replaced it with his fruit. Isn't that good? So God gets the glory. God gets the glory when we share his fruit with those around us. God gets the glory when people look at you and look at the change in your life and you being ready in season, out of season to give the hope for what you have. Give glory to God. Yeah, it couldn't be me. It's God's work. Glory to God. So we're going to take communion in a moment and I'll invite the band up. But I want to encourage you that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's His power, His plan. And if you are not feeling confident, say, well, Chris, look, I've just been struggling with this for years. I just don't know. I don't feel confident that God, you know, will do the work. I worry about this. Just some advice from somebody who's still on that journey, but been on the journey for a while. First of all, the first thing, if you want God to do the work, put yourself on His workbench. You know, I use this analogy of a mechanic. If your car is not working, you know, you call up your mechanic and say, I've got this problem. You know, he'll say, okay, bring it to the shop. No, I don't want you to touch my car. I just want you to fix it. No, it doesn't work like that. If you are not on God's workbench, if you have not surrendered your life to God and said, God, here is my life. It is an offering to you. Please do with it as you will. Change me as you want me to be. That is the only way to let God start the process. So put yourself on God's workbench. Submit to Him. Seek Him in prayer in the Word. And maybe you're sitting here and maybe you've never given your life to Christ. We can fix that today because God loves you and He wants to have you, you know, on His workbench so He can do great things in your life and you can know Him. Or maybe you were on God, you know, were with God, but there's certain areas of your life you don't want Him to touch. And you're saying, I don't want to continue in that. I need God. I need to give you full access. Listen, let's pray about that. Let 2024 be the year of submission to God, where God does this full work in your life, where He has full access. So first of all, put yourself on God's workbench. Secondly, reflect on what He's done already. We can look at where are you now? Because again, we kind of oftentimes not ignore, but we lose sight of the gradual increase. You know, you probably visited with family and friends, right? And maybe you saw, when you see your nephew or your niece who you haven't seen in 3 years, what's the first thing you say to them? My, how you've grown. The parents don't really recognize it. They've been with the child all the time. But because you look at, well, where you've come from to where you are now, it's actually quite a significant change. So reflect on that. Look back on your life and say, what has God done in my life? Where was I 5 years ago? Where was I 3 years ago? What used to trip me up? What temptations I would have fallen to 5 years ago, but I stand strong against and resist the devil today? What would I have been afraid of 5 years ago, but today I'm more confident? How am I more patient? What has God done? Reflect, look back on the little steps and how those little steps became a big difference. Reflect on what God has done. And also reflect on God's character, because He is a God who finishes the work. He, you know, reflect on His character. That will encourage you to know, I know that He is faithful. I know that He is good. I know He's got the plans for me. I know that His desire is to bless me and to make me more like Him and to do just this. That's the kind of God I serve. Therefore, He will do it. Amen? So, Philippians, He will complete the work. It's His plan, His power, His praise. So I'm going to invite the band up, and I like the song we did, New Wine, and we'll just sing that a little bit while we pass out the emblems, and then just hold the emblems, and we'll take them together. But I encourage you, as we are reflecting, as we are waiting on the emblems, reflect on what has God done in your life. Where are you now versus several years ago when you met the Lord?